Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is the podcast of Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This is just one segment of today's show. You can hear all of our conversations about New York's vibrant cultural scene on demand at WNYC.org. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC podcasts are supported by Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, providing comprehensive centers in cardiovascular services, interventional radiology, and cancer care. More information at www.holyname.org.
This is an encore edition of Soundcheck. Listening to Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and online, WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. You're hearing a song from an album called Romare Bearden Revealed, music from Branford Marsalis and his quartet, based on the premise that the paintings of artist Romare Bearden look like jazz. The CD was released to accompany a major retrospective of this great mid-20th century artist. I'm delighted that it's brought Branford Marsalis to our studio. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck. And Branford, when did you first become aware of the art of Romare Bearden?
In a very subconscious, or since I was a teenager, subterranean way. My parents had reproductions in the house, which we just ignored, along with Picasso. But they were there. It's uh-huh. on. You know.
Picasso also ignored?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Anything cultural, ignored. But there was a good, when I was ready to receive Romare and his work, at least I'd heard of him.
Yeah.
So it wasn't such a huge leap.
Well, the music we heard at the start, that was your rendition of this 1938 Duke Ellington tune, I'm Slappin' 7th Avenue,
right.
which in turn inspired Romare Bearden's 1981 painting,
right.
Slappin' 7th Avenue with the Sole of My Shoes. How do you see the connection between jazz and Bearden's art? I mean, he was a fan, obviously.
Well, he was a little more than a fan, actually. The one of the two times that I met him, the first time I met him, I was taken aback by the way, we could have a conversation about jazz, and he spoke like a jazz musician. So there was an intuitive understanding of what the music is and how it is produced that few have possessed.
Mm.
There are a number of prominent writers who write about jazz, and they don't get it the way that he gets it. I mean, he just gets it. People always try to tie jazz to a thing, like the blues or, you know, mostly the blues. That's the
right.
one you hear more consistently. But what he understood was that jazz is basically the musical wing of the Black American anthropological experience.
Mm.
It's not African per se, and that doesn't mean when I say that when you say something like that, people think you're saying, "Oh well, you have to be Black to play jazz." Well. There are an overwhelming number of Black people in America who have never heard of jazz, really,
right.
and can't play it worth a damn. But to really play the music and to really understand the music, you have to approach it from an African perspective in terms of sound and the relationship of sound to the body, to the ears, and a music that is passed on from mouth to ear, horn to ear, as opposed to the Western approach, which is very pedagogical, but written.
Right, tied to the page.
Tied to the page.
As the Africans call it, paper music.
Yeah. But the ultimate irony is that those that play classical music best are the ones that use the page as a guide and transcend it. So at the end of the day, when you're talking about the highest levels of performance, we're talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in music that is based in African tradition, the page just doesn't have that much value.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the art of Romare Bearden, there is this sense of tradition, but he was also, you know, a very modern guy. I mean, where do you see him on that spectrum of traditionalist at one end, modernist at the other?
Unlike a lot of people, I'm of the belief that all really great modern thinkers and great modern musicians and painters are neoclassicists. I don't think when I met Romare, and one of the things that touched me about him was that he was really concerned with being modern. I think that's kind of like a pop culture cliche, the obsession with newness. Using pop culture as an example, I mean, you know, tomorrow a new song is going to come out, and then 6 weeks from now it'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with trying to be terminally hip, you know. Romare was a student of art, and as he incorporated elements of painting from America, paintings from Europe, great European painters, you can look at some of his paintings and see the obvious influence of Picasso and the obvious influence of Matisse, and he absorbed these elements. And then what came out on the other side, gradually, not new. He wasn't 21 or 22.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was in his late 40s, maybe even his 50s, when the collage thing came together. So his conception had been germinating inside of him for over 25 years, and he comes out on the other side of it with this thing that is now called modern. And I think that that is ultimately the best way, while not necessarily the most profitable way,
right,
but it is certainly the truest way to do something that is that you would really not only be called modern, but actually will endure.
Yeah. So Bearden was an extension of a tradition.
In my opinion, yes. I mean, when you see the work, it reminds me of when Romare's work was finally presented at the National Gallery of Art. I was doing an interview with a woman, and she asked me some very bizarre. Well, she said, "Well, what do you think? What do you think this does for black art?" And I went, "What?" She goes, "Black art." And I said, "Well, I don't. What's that?" You know. She said, "Well, art by black people." I said, "I don't really care about art by black people." And which threw her completely.
Yeah.
She was like, "What?" I says, "No, I only care about good art." I says, "You know, I'm black. I go draw a stick figure, call it art, you know?" It's like, she says, "You know, well, how come there aren't any black artists who've been at the National Gallery before? You know, don't you think it's about time?" And I said, "Well, saying things like that is actually unfair to Romare Bearden, because he's not in here because the National Gallery of Art has embraced some form of affirmative action. He belongs in here."
Mm-hmm.
And when you put his work up against some of the great works from Europe or the great works of America by anybody of any hue, it stands up. And that's why it should be here. The idea when you start regionalizing things, you know, it's like going to Europe and saying, "What do you think of European jazz?" I'm like, "Yeah, whatever. You know, it's just there's jazz and right. everybody can play it
right.
that wants to play it." So, I'm definitely a fan. I definitely embrace the idea that Romare has used the medium to transcend the medium.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Branford Marsalis, and the CD called Romare Bearden Revealed features the Branford Marsalis Quartet and pretty much the whole Marsalis clan on this tune called Jungle Blues.
Right.
Well, this is a Fats Waller. No, it's a Jelly Roll Morton tune.
Jelly Roll Morton tune, yeah. Well,
what was the connection here?
One of my favorite paintings in the exhibit was a Romare painting called The Apprenticeship of Jelly Roll Morton, and it is a finely crafted naked woman sitting on top of a piano with Jelly Roll Wood doing his thing. And for people who don't know the history of Jelly Roll Morton, according to him, a lot of the pianistic styles that he played, he crafted them while playing in bordellos in New Orleans when we still had a red light district down there. And it was just the sense of humor he had when he wrote it. And we needed more material for the record. Because some of the songs, almost all the songs on the record are songs that Romare named paintings after.
Mm-hmm.
And in a situation like this where we happen to have this recording of us doing a Jelly Roll Morton song, and there was no song called The Apprenticeship of Jelly Roll Morton. We just took an extra step and used Jungle Blues.
Thank you. little bit of the Jungle Blues by Jelly Roll Morton in a performance by my guest Branford Marsalis, and here playing soprano, saxophone, and the whole gang is here.
Winton on trumpet, Delphio trombone, Jason on drums, my dad on piano, and Reginald Veal on bass.
All right,
who's so from New Orleans, so he's honorary.
Honorary family.
Yes.
So Ellis Marsalis and his clan of,
right.
of musicians on the album Romare Bearden Revealed, which mostly features the Branford Marsalis Quartet. We're speaking, obviously, with Branford Marsalis and talking about the art of Romare Bearden, which inspired this CD, and we'll hear more from it and continue our conversation as we continue in a moment with Soundcheck. This is an encore edition of Soundcheck. Listening to Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and online WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. My guest is Branford Marsalis. We're hearing some music from the album called Romare Bearden Revealed, inspired by the art of the 20th century African-American artist Romare Bearden. Branford, do you think that there was a social commentary in Romare Bearden's work?
Of course.
And what was that?
Well, I don't know. I can't presume. But I think that when you approach the music a certain way with a certain... when you approach the art, because music is the same to me,
mm-hmm.
when you approach the art with a certain level of intellectual curiosity and emotional openness, everything that you feel is embodied in your work. In terms of that 60s kind of thing where everything had to be a social statement, lyrically or visually, no, I don't think that he did that per se. I think that... he was far too visionary to resort to reactionary behavior, because it was in vogue at the time. But it's clear to me that he was well aware of the social condition of black people in America. When you see many of the images, many slave images, trains are constantly present in his work. The train representing the migration from the South to the North. When he has pictures talking about urban life, I don't think that it's coincidental that many of the pictures that he uses in all of his cityscape pictures, when they have human beings in them, there's always some guy in there with a straw hat on or some overalls on, and it shows his relationship with, well, he was from Charlotte, North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
but it shows that he understands the nature of the relationship between the South and the North as it relates to black Americans.
He was born in North Carolina?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought he was born in Harlem.
He grew up in Harlem.
He
was born in Charlotte.
Hmm.
I think they moved when he was 3 or 4. I can't remember the exact.
Right.
Maybe it was 8. I'm not sure.
Well, there is a very urban cast to a lot of Romare Bearden's art. And certainly that, I mean, we think of jazz as an urban music. Which it is. New Orleans, Kansas City, Chicago, New York.
Well, I wouldn't call New Orleans an urban city. But I think the thing that's most ironic is I think jazz, when jazz really became jazz is once it left New Orleans and mm-hmm. Kansas City, Chicago, and New York. There were little things like New Orleans, the better musicians at one time came from New Orleans. There were also a lot of great musicians who came from Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
The irony for me is that when you look at the roster of great jazz musicians, the overwhelming majority of them are from the South. So it is the combination of the Southern sensibility and the Southern experience growing up near black churches and doing all those things in blues bars and juke joints and then moving north. And it's the combination of the two. I know for a fact that if I had stayed in New Orleans, I wouldn't amount to much. It's just a different mentality. New York, particularly New York, New York is where jazz is.
Yeah.
And it really allowed me to see the world, which is something growing up in New Orleans, we didn't get a chance to do. And I got to meet people from all over the world in one city and eat in restaurants that represent the world in one city.
Mm-hmm.
And it really opened my eyes to a lot of things that I was not aware of. And I think that you have to have that kind of larger vision in order to achieve anything in the arts.
So it was here in New York that you met Romare Bearden?
It was here in New York that I met Romare Bearden.
How old were you the first time?
I think 26. And I mean, I didn't care. My first wife was into Romare's work. And a good friend of hers, Essie Green, had a gallery in Harlem. She and her husband, Sherman Edmondson. And Essie's gallery is still there, but they were like the exclusive dealers for Romare's work. And they had this deal where if you buy a painting, you get to meet the artist. And I was playing with Sting at the time, so I was making some nice money. And my then wife says, oh, we should buy a Romare beard. And I was like, what? A painting? I mean, it's one thing if it's like a comic book poster or something. Something that I like, you know, painting, you know, give me a break. So I was talking to my dad. I said, yeah, man, you know, Tess wants to buy this Romare Bearden painting because you get to meet the painter. He says, you get to meet the painter? I said, yeah. He says, buy the picture. I said, for what? He goes, think of it as an investment. It was a great thing for me. It confirmed a lot of things in my mind. It was an affirmation, and I learned a lot. Just, it's a short meeting, 45 minutes.
And obviously, you know, that's, as an investment, it's one that's kind of paid dividends over the years, this album being.
Yeah, well, that was just serendipity. It was not my idea.
Mm-hmm.
Bob O'Mealy, a professor of at Columbia, and he's on the Bearden Foundation board. It was his idea. To get us to do this. And my manager really loved the idea of it. And it kind of started beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking forward to having my first vacation in 5 years. And I didn't get the vacation. And we got the record, and it's great. And I guess I'll get a vacation when I die.
Uh-huh.
But I'm glad that I would prefer to have that record instead of the vacation. So.
Well, the song we're going to hear next was actually co-written by Romare Bearden,
yes.
Called Seabreeze. So he as you said before, he wasn't just a fan. He was a lot more. He knew a lot of the guys. Wasn't he friends with Max Roach?
He was friends with everybody. He was friends with all the musicians. Everyone that you could name, he knew personally. At the time when the segregation was rife in New York, Duke Ellington and Count Basie were frequent visitors to his home because his parents were very involved in the community as well. So he knew everyone. Everyone knew him. And there was a time when he lost his way with painting. So he quit and he started writing songs. That didn't last very long.
Mm.
But it's a good song. The thing that's amazing is we found some sheet music for Seabreeze. And in the 50s and 40s, they would always have an inset of the person who sang the song. And on the sheet music in the inset is Billy Eckstine. I have yet to find an actual recording of Billy Eckstine singing the song.
Wow.
I got an email from a guy who says he has it, but it's on vinyl.
So like major figures in the community were doing his stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, now here's the Branford Marsalis Quartet and a song co-composed by artist Romare Bearden. It's called Seabreeze.
Thank you.
Branford Marsalis and the quartet. The CD is called Romare Bearden Revealed. Looking at his art, and it went through a number of phases, one of the consistent things in Bearden's work is the use of color, these big, brash, bold colors. There's nothing muted in Romare Bearden. In the music, do you hear, is there a sonic equivalent to that in this CD?
Big, brash, bold colors are part of the African tradition. How it manifests itself in the Western world is, like, you know, yellow three-piece suits are really not my idea of royalty or regal behavior. But you see a lot of that down south when you're growing up, you know. Pink suits, orange suits, green suits.
And that you didn't ignore, obviously.
That's it was hard to ignore. It was hard to ignore, but I tried mightily. But it's a manifestation when you, if you go to Africa or when you see Africans in the clothes that they're wearing, magnificent, bold colors. So I think that I don't even think that Romare had to think that much about that. It was just probably an extension of his point of view. I don't think he had to say, well, how do I distinguish myself from others? Oh, I get it. I'll use big, bold colors. You know, I think it was just one of those things that was axiomatic with his work.
Right. You know, the funny thing is I first heard of Romare Bearden's work through a German friend. So, you know, it was from Europe. I mean, there clearly is something, you know, bigger than the Black American experience.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
There's something universal in what he does.
Oh, he's great. I mean, the art should appeal to everyone that likes art. If you don't like it, well, yeah, I understand that.
Well, sure, because you were ignoring it all the time growing up.
Yeah, I had no use for it. I had no use for it.
All right. Well, before we wrap up, you have to share with our audience the parenting technique that you learned from your dad.
Well, my dad would, there's six boys in the family. And oftentimes I hear friends of mine talking about sibling rivalry. And they always ask, you know, do you and Wynn have sibling rivalry? And I'd say, well, no. And they say, well, how is that possible? I say, it was simple because my father declared when we were all old enough and this stuff started, he says, make no mistake, all of you are my enemy. And if I were you, I'd stick together. And he held us to that. He just didn't play favorites. And because he didn't play favorites, you could never accuse him of nepotism. And we had to stick together. We had to stick together because, you know, we were sneaky kids. So we had to cut deals. When me and Wynton would mess something up, we'd have to cut deals with the other two to not rat us out. I mean, it was like a good thing. It was a good thing.
You were the enemy.
Yeah.
All right.
And I've passed that on to my children as well. So it works fine.
The tradition continues.
It does.
My guest has been Branford Marsalis. The Romare Bearden album is called Romare Bearden Revealed. We'll conclude with the Carolina Shout from North Carolina's Branford Marsalis and the quartet. And Branford, great to see you. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Thanks for listening to today's podcast of Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. This was just one of the show's segments. You can hear everything we do on demand at WNYC.org. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.